Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Millie Moffat, the phone girl at Tressida Bendigo and Company, introduces Chapter 8 of Office Wife.
Good morning, Tressida Bendigo and Company. Mr. Fleming, one moment, please. I'll put you on. Oh, a Commodore Gray, Mr. Fleming. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, Mutt. Yes, well, what was I saying, girls? Oh, you can't help seeing things when they're under your nose, kind of. And this Bronson woman, well, Harry Palmer does everything but drool at her, and I can't say I blame him. But that's Jeff Pilgrim she's after. How do I know? Well, you know me. But what I'm worried about is Marcia getting the wrong ideas. If Jeff Pilgrim makes one mistake and Marcia finds out about it, she'll go straight to her Uncle Tressida Bendigo and have him thrown out. That'd be a shame. He's the sweetest thing we've ever seen around here. Gee, I wish I was his wife. Oh, just a sec, dolls. Good morning, Tressida Bendigo and Company. Mr. Pilgrim, just a moment, please. I'll put you on.
Who is it, Miss Bronson?
A salesman from P.C. Brewster's. No?
But definitely no.
I'll tell.
I'm very sorry, but Mr. Pilgrim will be in conference all day. No, I'm sorry. He won't be available tomorrow either. Yes, I'll ask him to make an appointment at his earliest convenience.
Thanks very much. I wish I could buy a Gorgon's head for chaps like that fellow. Oh, well. There aren't any more letters, are there?
Only a couple of routine ones. They're on your desk for signing.
Oh, good. Miss Bronson, I'm sorry if I was rude last night, but I think you understood, didn't you?
You said yourself I was an excellent secretary.
Okay, when I ask a question, I wish you'd give me a direct answer.
Very well, then. I do not understand. If everyone else in the place can assume an air of easy informality, I don't see why it shouldn't include me. I'm not an easy person to look after, and I'm doing three times the work expected of me without complaining. But a pleasant atmosphere goes a long way. And I don't appreciate being treated as though I was waiting to throw my arms around your neck at the first opportunity. I work here, nothing else. And if you want me to, I'll resign this minute.
Oh, rot. There's no question of your resigning. Now, look here. I'm sorry if I've been pushing you too hard with this Benny Puller business and picking up the threads after my absence and so on. But really, Miss Bronson, there's no need for tears.
It's all right. I'll be all right in a minute. I shouldn't have spoken like that.
Yeah. Look here, Stella, this won't do.
Oh, Jeff, have you got 10 minutes up your sleeve? I need a hand to...
Hello? What goes on?
Clear off for a while, will you, Harry? There's a good chap.
Nothing wrong, is there?
Of course not. Just shut the door quickly, that's all.
Hanged if I know what the place is coming to. Backstage at the opera on opening night, you asked me.
I'm really very sorry, Mr. Pilgrim. I didn't want to put you in a difficult position.
Well, hop outside and powder your face. I'll go and see Palmer, and when I get back, we'll have a yarn and straighten things out. It'll be about a quarter of an hour, I expect.
Now, what in the world made me blow up like that? Wouldn't it be maddening if I did fall for the beast? You'd better pull yourself together, Bronson, my girl.
Well, there you are, Jeff. What the devil were you doing to La Bronson? Doesn't she earn her full screw taking your letters without you having to... Don't be half-witted. I didn't realize I was putting so much pressure on the girl. She's been working darn hard, and I snapped at her without thinking just then, and her tears flowed like wine. Now, let's forget it. Well,
Now, what did you want me for?
This schedule for Highland Hygradia, a shipment of ball bearings. I don't get it.
No, let's have a look. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, what are you doing next Friday night?
Nothing, as far as I know.
Oh, good. Well, the Jeffrey Pilgrims will be crashing the social columns again with a gathering for cocktails. 5:30 till 7 or later, we can leave here early. I'm asking Myers, Hendricks, and Campbell from the office to bring your own femmes. Marcia's digging up the rest. Can you come?
Oh, thanks very much, old boy. I'd love to. Does it matter who I bring?
Not a scrap. Just so long as she doesn't want to dunk a smoked salmon into martinis.
Well, now that sounds a bit more like you. Right, I'll dust off the old chalk stripe and my Uncle Oscar's red carnation. Oh, say thank you to Marcia for me, won't you?
No, definitely. By the way, who is your current lass? Do I know her?
I, at the moment, sir, am at liberty.
It's hard to believe, Harry, but I'll take your word for it. All right, to work. That Highland Hygradia Commission came to us, if I remember, through Robertson and Archer, who mocked the city. Feel better now, Miss Bronson?
Much, thanks. It won't happen again.
Look, there's something I'd better get off my chest. I've always held the view that working together as we do most of the day, it's a good thing to keep our relations strictly impersonal. There are times when one has to give orders or make complaints. And one can't be cracking jokes one minute and laying down the law like a sergeant major the next.
I realize that. I think that if people do their work properly, there shouldn't ever be any cause for complaints.
No, that's true enough. But it's a matter of principle.
Please, couldn't we forget that I lost my head?
Certainly. But it was my fault, and I apologize. Oh, and there's another thing. As you know, my wife was my secretary here before you. She's also Mr. Tressida Bendigo's niece and heir, so that I am obliged to work twice as hard in the firm and get twice the results. There's to be no reflection on us both. Do you follow me?
You mean that there'd be no tears shed in some quarters if you fell down on the job now and then?
Quite. Put your ear to the soft grapevine and you'll hear plenty of remarks about that chap Pilgrim knowing how to feather his nest and so on. Well, that's why you might think we're a little bit over-conscientious here in my office at times. And that's why you have more to do than the other girls.
I don't mind. I like having to keep busy.
And you may as well know. You've been an enormous help. I don't think I could have handled the Puller deal without you. I appreciate what you've done.
That's all right, Mr. Pilgrim.
Then, my friends? Oh, please.
Of course we are, Mr. Pilgrim.
I don't want to sound, well, childish about this, but maybe you were right. Miss Bronson and Mr. Pilgrim does sound a bit stuffy when we're by ourselves, doesn't it?
I'm perfectly sure it does.
All right, then. Let's keep it that way for when there are others about. My name is Jeffrey Adrian, in case you didn't know what the A stood for. I say, hang on that phone, will you?
Yeah.
Millie, get me Mrs. Pilgrim, will you, please? I'll hang on. Yes, when I was a kid at school, the other kids said that anyone with a name like Jeffrey Adrian should go about with ribbons in his hair. And that's how I first came to have an interest in boxing and... Oh, hello, darling.
Hello, Jeff. I didn't expect you to ring.
Well, it's about lunch, my dear. I won't be able to make it, definitely.
That's all right. You told me at breakfast. I'm meeting Angela Tennant again.
Oh, good. I had a conscience about you. Oh, I say, pet, don't let Angela tell you anything about us, will you? You know the way she goes on.
Don't be silly. You're as fond of Angela as I am. I know she's a ghastly gossip.
Yeah, she most certainly is. I bet she can tell you what toothpaste I'm using.
I won't take you, darling. You'd win.
Hey, where are you going? For food, I mean.
I don't know.
Well, have fun. I'll see you by sixish.
Right. Hang up, there's a dear. I'm late already.
Cheerio. A lunch for me today looks like a bottle of milk and a ham sandwich with mustard. Well, all right, back to work, Stella. Let's make the best of our time and try not to think of Mrs. Jeffrey Pilgrim and Mrs. Angela Tennant sitting in deep red leather somewhere where the food is gossip and the gossip is good.
What's it to be, Marcia? Martini, Manhattan, or pink gin?
Dry sherry and bitters, thanks.
What? Oh, really, darling. People haven't been drinking sherry and bitters since Oscar Wilde went into a decline. I'll order you a martini. How fascinating. Mirabelle Fuchs in the very same hat she had 3 years ago. Mirabelle, I adore your hat. I think it's divine. The old hag. Well, darling, as I was saying... Oh.
What's the matter, Angela?
I've just realized.
I'm trying to be patient, darling, but what have you just realized?
That utterly nauseating head waiter has put us at the very same table.
The very same table as what?
Well, you know how I just loathe telling tales, darling.
Angela Tennant, you're being deliberately infuriating and you're enjoying every second of it. Tell me at once.
No, I couldn't possibly.
Don't be a bore, darling.
Then I'll tell you. Bringing into play my most Gaelic shrug. This is the very same table where your enchanting man Geoffrey was feeding some wench the other day. The day you rang me up, as a matter of fact.
Just the two of them?
Well, who ever saw anything interesting in a threesome?
What did she look like?
Oh, you know the type men still seem to go for, pet. Unfashionably long, fair hair, too much mouth, eyelashes like a balcony awning. And I don't know how they do it, but they always seem to have the most exquisite teeth.
I didn't call her Stella.
Darling, I haven't dropped a brick, have I?
I've never been able to make out whether you're a friend of mine or not, Angela. But I'll know in a minute or so.
Waiter, telephone, please. Well, what's the matter, are you deaf? I said a telephone at once.
Lied to me. Jeff lied to me. That day he rang up and said he was going to lunch with Benny Puller. He wasn't doing anything of the sort. He was with Stella. Oh, how maddening. To be right about them all the time. And then allow myself to be talked out of it like any little suburban biddy.
Waiter, can't you hurry up with that telephone?
We invite you to listen to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.